Take your Bibles. I want to talk to you today about two letters. Say two letters. You know what the two letters are? Anybody want to know? Anybody have a guess? They're U and they're N. Two letters can make a very, very big difference. It can be life transforming if you lose those two letters. If you move from ungrateful to grateful, it can be a transformative event in your life. There's a funny story about several brothers who were always trying to, they had sibling rivalries, they were always trying to outdo one another. And they many times would carry it out in buying gifts for their family. And one of them always wanted to outdo his brothers in giving a gift to their saintly grandmother. The mother, grandmother lived in the northern parts of the lower peninsula of Michigan. He was a very wealthy lawyer, the grandson was, from the East Coast now, living in the East Coast in America. And he bought this expensive gift for his grandmother that was a bird that was called a Zirka bird. It cost literally $50,000. It could speak five languages fluently. It could sing three operas. He shipped the bird to his grandmother for Thanksgiving to be an early Christmas present. And the next day he called her up and he said, "Well, Grandma, how did you like that bird?" Grandma responded, "Sonny, it was a little bit tough, but after I boiled it, it was delicious." I think sometimes, Brighton, we don't really recognize the value of the gifts that God gives to us. Sometimes we don't recognize what it is or where it's from, just like that bird. And sometimes we actually think that we deserve blessings that we receive. So easy in America, especially, to slip into an entitlement mindset that has permeated American society almost at every level. We've been blessed. How many of you know we've been blessed? We've been blessed to live in a land of plenty. And as a result, what can happen in our lives, we can become complacent. And many times become completely unwilling to give thanks to anyone for anything. The fact of the matter is, that's what we're going to look at this morning in the passage of Scripture in Luke's Gospel 17. Stand with me for the reading of the Word, would you please? Jesus is moving about in his ministry, and he's moving between a Jewish community, Galilee, and Samaria, the Samaritans. They hate each other. They can't stand each other. The Jews think that the Samaritans are half-breeds. You know what? They got a little bit of Jew in them, but they're really hedonistic. They're evil people. They hate each other. And look at this story. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, say at a distance, and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. Say, came back. Amen. Praising God in a loud voice. Say, loud voice. Loud voice. You can't say loud voice without it being loud, right? Say, loud voice.
Loud voice.
Loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." What an incredible story. Two letters can make all the difference for your life, Brighton Assembly. Those of you watching online, If you extract those two letters, I want you to know you can become a different person for the glory of God. Let's pray. Would you lift your hands unto the Lord if you feel comfortable doing it? Lord, we call on you today. We lift up holy hands of gratitude unto you, Lord. You've been so gracious to us. I thank you for the great crowd that's here today. Thank you for every person that's watching online. Lord, everything that we have is a gift from your good hand. The word of the Lord declares everything that we have that is good comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. Lord, we say thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for healing. Thank you for your good pleasure in our lives. Thank you for the privilege to be able to tell our community about Living Christmas Story and why you came to this earth so we might have salvation. Lord, in these next few moments, let your word come alive. I pray that, Lord, you would speak a word instant in season and out of season to the people that you and I love today. Ron and I just say, thanks, Lord, for 33 good years at this church. Lord, you've been so kind to us, so providing. You are Jehovah Jireh. But even today, Lord, on this day, the 23rd of November, 2025, we'll never get another one of them. So, Lord, speak a word to your people. And, Lord, if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love today. And we'll thank and praise you for this. And we'll have hearts of gratitude towards you in Jesus' awesome and mighty name. And everybody would say amen. 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 You may be seated. Carol decided she wanted to do something nice for her neighbor. Her neighbor was Mrs. Smith. So she baked a pie for Mrs. Smith and called on her next door. She carried the pie to Mrs. Smith, who opened the door, and she was surprised to see Carol holding this pie. She replied, "For me? Oh, thank you so much. You just don't know how much I appreciate it. I love apple pies. You're so thoughtful for doing this. Thank you." Because Mrs. Smith liked the pie so much, Carol decided next week to bake her another one. But when she took it over to Mrs. Smith, opened the door and said, "Thank you so much, you're so kind." Carol took another pie over the following weeks. Mrs. Smith replied, "Thanks." Carol took another pie over the next week, and Mrs. Smith responded, "You're a day late with that pie." The following week, Carol baked her another pie. This time, the neighbor said, "Try using a little more sugar and don't bake it quite as long. The crust has been a little hard lately, and I'd like cherry instead of apple filling next time." The next time, Carol was so busy, she was not able to bake a pie for her neighbor. When Carol passed by Mrs. Smith's house on the way to the store, Mrs. Smith looked through her window and noticed she wasn't carrying a pie. She then stuck her head out and yelled, "Where's my pie?" It's so easy to get used to our blessings. It's so easy to get used to the blessings in our lives. And after enjoying them for a while, we begin to think, you know what? We kind of deserve them. Instead of giving thanks, we complain. It's a process that can occur in all of us on a very slow basis. Our attitude changes from being grateful to ungrateful. I want to ask you a question. Do you consider yourself to be an ungrateful person? Most people don't. I'm sure Mrs. Smith probably didn't. I'm sure those nine lepers did not see themselves as ungrateful. And most of the time, we're really blind to ingratitude in our own personal lives, aren't we? It's not that we really are ungrateful, we just forget, right? Oh, yeah. The difference between ungrateful and grateful is more than two letters. Those letters make up a world of difference. Do you realize that it's the difference between pleasing God and grieving God? It's the difference between rejoicing and complaining. It's the difference between being content and restless. If you were one of those 10 lepers on the road that day, would you have returned to thank Jesus? Or would you be like the other 9 that, quote unquote, air quotes, forgot to return to give thanks? Look at the similarities real quick. This will take 60 seconds maybe. Look at the similarities of the 10 lepers. They all had the same disease. They all had leprosy. They all had the same desire. They were really wanting to be restored. They were looking to be clean, considered clean. They all were obedient. They all left to go to the priest. They all had that in common. And then they were all healed. The fact of the matter is, each and every one of them were healed, the story tells us. And I ask the question. I'm asking it of myself, believe me. This morning, I'm preaching to myself much more than I am to anybody out in the congregation or online today. Would you have returned, Brad? 5 facts I wanted to give you about grateful people today. Fact number 1 is, obedience goes the initial mile, but gratitude always, always goes the second mile. Look what the word says, that when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Because lepers were unclean according to the law. They had to be removed from society. Otherwise, they would defile other people. So they weren't allowed to defile others. The Jewish Talmud, which is a kind of an instruction book for the Torah. The Jewish Talmud was second in weight only. It was only subjugated to the word of God. The Jewish Talmud would be the rabbinical teachings to the Jewish people. The Jewish Talmud required the people that were considered unclean to stay 100 strides or 300 feet. Consider a full football field away from other people. They had to be ostracized so as not to defile others. They were outcasts of society. The lepers' fellowship was contained to those who had the same disease, thus a leper colony, if you will. Although normally the Jews, I said that, hated the Samaritans, an exception clause was made for this situation. The group of lepers included a Samaritan. And the leprosy caused them to be considered outcasts amongst their own people. And it caused them to even accept the colony, to accept this foreigner that they would normally reject. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. So one day, while Jesus is passing between Samaria and Galilee, the 10 lepers saw him. They knew that this was their open door. This was their chance. They stood at the prescribed distance, and then they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he yelled back, go show yourselves to the priest. The reason he said this was why? The priests were the only, not one of them, only people that could declare that a leper had been cleansed. So they could, he or she could be permitted back into society. And as the lepers begin their journey towards Jerusalem, God's healing power cleansed their leprosy. The lepers were filled with excitement. They're watching the leprosy disappear. Joy has to overflow in their hearts when they realize, now I can rejoin my family. Now I can worship. Now I can go back into town. No longer are they going to be the outcasts, the wretches of society. The 10 lepers believed what Jesus said. They obeyed. Say obeyed. What he had commanded them to do. And when they began walking towards the priests, God heals them of their leprosy. But 90% of those 10 lepers failed to do one very important thing. They failed to return and thank Jesus for their healing. I confess there's been times where I sat down to a meal and thanked God out of ritual. Not because I'm not truly grateful, but because my prayer came from my head, not so much from my heart. At other times, I've needed God to answer a prayer, and then I received the answer, and I was so excited, but thanking him didn't even enter my mind. Had a spiritual amnesia of the heart, if you will. I responded just like those 9 lepers did. I was obedient to what the Lord said, especially when I was in need, but I forgot to give thanks. Research shows that being thankful is actually good for your health. Did you know that? Robert Emmons is a professor of psychology for the University of California at Davis. And he said, clinical trials indicate that the practice of gratitude can have a dramatic and lasting effects in a person's life. It can lower blood pressure, improve immune function, and facilitate more efficient sleep. The University of California at San Diego's School of Medicine linked gratitude with better health rhythms. Researchers at the University of Utah in Kentucky linked optimism with more disease-fighting cells in their bodies. And if that isn't convincing enough, listen to this. People who keep a gratitude journal have reduced dietary fat intake as much as 25% lower. Stress hormones like cortisol are 23% lower in grateful people. Having a daily gratitude practice could actually reduce the effects of aging in the brain. Here's the life principle. It is possible to be obedient to God's commands, right? And still not be in God's will. They followed the director if they were obedient, and yet they didn't follow God's will, which is to always to give thanks. Paul the Apostle says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, say in everything. In everything. Say it in everything. In everything. Give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Obedience and gratitude, I would submit to you, Brighton, are not the same thing. Obedience goes the initial mile, but gratefulness, gratitude, goes the second mile. It's not enough for us just to be obedient. God commands us to be thankful. Fact number 2, people who have been blessed are always divided into 2 categories. Whenever you and I receive something from God, you and I automatically are divided into 1 of 2 groups. We said it right at the start of the message, grateful and ungrateful. When Christ healed those lepers, there was 2 groups. The grateful group, they had a membership of 1 person, the leper that was cleansed that returned. The ungrateful group had 9 members, but better known as Lepers Anonymous, if you will, because they were going into obscurity. They were kind of going into the witness protection program. They weren't going to witness of the goodness of God to their lives. And they were never going to be heard from again. Every person on earth is a member of 1 of 2 groups, grateful or ungrateful. Let's examine gratitude just for a couple moments. Ungrateful people always see the bad in every good situation, whereas grateful people see the good in every bad situation. Ungrateful people immediately find the negative in a given situation. In a pile of 100 things, the ungrateful person is able to detect the 1 bad thing in a matter of seconds. It's like the family who sat down for Thanksgiving dinner, and the father asked the son to pray over the Thanksgiving dinner. And the son said, "You know, Dad, it won't do any good." And the father said, "Why not?" He said, the boy responded by saying, "Because I can already see broccoli on the table." Some people can only see broccoli, and they never enjoy the rest of the meal. On the other hand, I would submit to you, thankful, grateful people have the ability to detect the good in any situation. They're able to see the vitamins in the broccoli, even if they don't care for the taste. Pam Grassice was a part of our church. I thought of her last night when I saw her daughter with my family and her family, Claire, at the celebration downtown Brighton. My mind went back to Claire's mother, Pam, passed away of cancer on February 5th, 2017. But even to the very last breath that she took, when she was barely able to walk into this church with cancer, she was always giving thanks. She was an amazing lady. I would submit to you, an ungrateful people complain about how hard they have it, whereas grateful people realize how good they have it. Wouldn't you agree? Ungrateful people complain about, they could be living in a five-story mansion and find something to complain about. But grateful people realize how good they do have it. I've told you the story before. I love the author Stephen Farrar. He writes primarily to men. And one story he tells is he's moving into a nice home in Arkansas. And one day he mowed the yard and went inside to pour a glass of tea. And as he sat down on his deck, he picked up a magazine of Better Homes and Gardens. And he's flipping through the pages when he saw a couple in Des Moines, Iowa had remodeled their kitchen. The before and after pictures really impressed Farrar. And so this couple in Des Moines had put in new tiles, a French door system, a rotating pantry, and other luxuries. Then he turned another page and saw a couple in Boise, Idaho that had remodeled their back deck. There was a barbecue area and an amphitheater in their backyard, and it was incredible. And when he had finished drinking his tea, he went back inside to get some more, and he stopped and he looked at his kitchen. The countertops and the formica looked horrible. Then he opened the pantry, and it didn't have a rotating pantry system like it did in the magazine. There were no French doors either. And Farrar thought, how can I live in such a roach trap like this? He went outside and looked at the deck and did he had enjoyed all day and said to himself, I've seen firewood in better shape than this. And in a matter of 7 minutes, Stephen Farrar said he had gone from a state of contentment to a state of discontentment, simply because he thought about how bad he had it compared to others. Then he felt convicted and he quickly realized he shouldn't have complained and quickly changed his attitude back to being grateful. Read about a man that was feeling sorry for himself. And he went to see a guidance counselor, psychologist, and he said, you know, the counselor said, okay, but before we talk about your problems, I want you to watch a video. And they watched a video of third world countries, and the man realized he didn't really have any problems whatsoever. His problems were first country problems. A person becomes grateful when he realizes or she realizes how good they have it, but they don't realize how better they have it than other people that are less fortunate or better that less fortunate than they are. No matter how bad they may have it, they could always be in a situation that was much worse. Ungrateful people, I would submit to you, think they deserve more than they get, whereas grateful people recognize they don't deserve what they get. One elderly lady, she gave some candy to a little girl, and the girl's mother said, now, what do you say? And the girl looked at the lady and said, you got any more? Ungrateful people are like that with God. Rather than thanking the Lord, they complain they don't have enough. In contrast, I would submit to you, thankful people realize they don't deserve anything at all. When they receive, they recognize, you know what, I have this by God's grace, and it's only by God's grace that I have it. God's kind to ungrateful men, but he loves people that are grateful children that recognize he's the source. Can you say amen? Jesus' half-brother said, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good thing that we have comes from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Fact number three, grateful people take extra steps that ungrateful people don't take. Look at the word, those two words there. That leper came back. That healed leper that thanked the Lord came back, praising God in a loud voice. Say those two words, came back. Amen. The grateful leper was on his way to show himself to the priest. But he saw that he had been healed, and he came back recognizing this is the rightful order. I'm coming back to thank the Lord. He had already walked some distance and decided to turn around. His attitude of gratitude was one that separated himself from the fellowship of the ungrateful. He took the extra steps to return and to thank Jesus. He had walked further than those lepers who had kept on walking towards the priests. Gratitude, Brighton, always requires that you take extra steps and time out of your schedule. You write notes, you send texts, you make phone calls. There's a girl that was 12 years old. Her name was Tanya Gattens. She was a 12-year-old who traveled with her parents 1,300 miles to thank the man who had saved her life. They drove from Galveston, Texas to Charlotte, North Carolina, through a record snowstorm in Tennessee that held them up for an extra 2 days. Tanya had one purpose in her mind. She wanted to thank and hug the man who gave his bone marrow to cure her leukemia. The man who had saved her life said, "I had to do it. I'm the only person who could have done that for her." It would have been, you know that, and I know that, it would have been unthinkable for Tanya to ignore the man who had saved her life. She and her parents proved their gratefulness by taking an extra step, or miles, if you will, to travel those many miles to thank him. There's a man that's very close to me in my life, Ron and I. Through a tragedy a number of years ago, we walked through him, that tragedy with him. His daughter was tragically killed the day before Easter, several years ago. And by the choice of the parents, they donated the daughter's heart and the eyes. And I said to him on an occasion, I said, did you make the opportunity for them to come back and say thanks for the heart that was donated and the eyes? He said, "We did, Pastor." I said, "Did they ever come back?" He said, "They didn't." I can't imagine somebody not wanting to say thanks if they had the opportunity. But taking the time to say thanks is what separates you from the ungrateful, the ingrate, if you will. Fact number four, grateful people rarely have to be reminded to offer thanks. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Can I just say this? Because the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. The Lord's a gentleman. He'll never force anybody to be grateful. You'll never find Jesus begging us to thank him. When this one leper returned, he glorified God in a loud voice. No one had to wonder if he was grateful or just being courteous. His loud voice answered any questions about sincerity. True gratitude always rises within our soul and can never be extracted by external forces or negativity around about us. Jesus didn't heal the lepers, right? And then remind them, "Thank me. Now, what do you say?" He never said that. No, this Samaritan healed leper looked at his new flesh that was growing back right before his eyes. New fingers and toes. He ran back to Jesus. You say, "Well, where does it say that he ran back?" I can hardly imagine a guy that had been separated from the Lord without fingers and toes. Maybe his nose was missing as well. Not running back and saying, "Look what you've done. Thank you, Lord." He falls before the Lord, gets his face in the dirt and cries out, "Thank you." And I had to ask myself, quite honestly, "Brad, when's the last time you got down on your face and really thanked Jesus for all that he's done for you?" We're so quick to ask him to answer our prayers, but then we forget when he does provide for us and we forget to thank him. Thankfulness, I would submit to you, is the missing element in many people's lives. Robert Louis Stevenson, you know, he wrote Jekyll and Hyde. He said, the person that is an ingrate has fallen asleep in life. Dr. Wesley Soper, in his book, God is Inescapable. I love the story. I quoted almost every Thanksgiving. I posted as well. You'll see it probably this week. But he basically said the difference between a prison and a monastery is griping and gratitude. Look what he says. Prisoners spend every waking moment griping, whereas monks spend every waking moment giving thanks. They're both imprisoned in a sense, but what a difference. Dr. Soper goes on to say that when a prisoner becomes a saint, a prison becomes a monastery. When a saint gives up gratitude, a monastery may become a prison. Wow, that'll preach. Fact number five. Jesus also expects the ungrateful people to offer him thanks. Jesus asked, verse 17, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner? When the one thankful leper returned, Jesus says, weren't there 9 others who were healed as well? He wasn't just expecting the grateful leper to return. He was expecting the other 9 lepers to return as well. Even though, I said it, Jesus forces no one to say thank you. Can I say this? He desires us to express our gratitude. Whenever we do something for someone, we always expect to be thanked in some way, right? We usually are bothered if we're ignored. If I hold the door for somebody, you know what? I'm not going to get in their face if they don't say thanks. But you know what? You would like to say somebody to say thank you. I want Rhonda to get treated like when I'm not around, like I treat other ladies. So whenever I fly, if there's somebody coming down the aisle and they've got to get a piece of luggage up into the luggage stall there, I pick that up for them. I just, let me get that for you, miss. And there's been one or two, I don't know what's driving them, but that when I go to help them take it out of there, they'll say, I can get it myself. Okay, you probably can. All right. But the fact of the matter is, everybody likes to be thanked, right? And the fact is, in our lives, I would submit to you, God is grieved and disappointed when he blesses us, and yet we neglect to thank him. Jesus had done a marvelous miracle in those lepers, those 10 lepers, and 90% of them, you know what? They didn't return. You can't put a price tag on new fingers and new toes. Their entire lives were changed because of their healing. Not only were they made whole, now they could go home. I said that. They could go back into society. They could go back into the temple. They could fellowship with their families again. Jesus was grieved in his heart. There was no memorial offered for what he had done for the other 9. And those members of Lepers Anonymous never knew how much their ingratitude disappointed Christ because they weren't able to see the look on his face. Only the one who was thankful truly understood how Jesus felt. How many of you are like me? You approach the Lord at different times, and yet your approach is many times with a give me list. Give me this. A petition. A shopping list. Lord, this is what I need. Help me, help me. And we're supposed to approach him, yes. But we're to approach him with thanksgiving and praise. I told you the story before. My dad, when he was the pastor at Brightmoor Tabernacle, one time he was driving down Telegraph Road and he saw what looked like a money bag on the side of the road. And he swung back, the Michigan turned around, came back around and pulled off to the side of the road, picked up the money bag. It was from New York Carpet World. Remember New York Carpet World? It was the New York Carpet World. Inside the bag was cash of more than $1,600. And he got to the church. He called up the local New York Carpet World, and he said, are you missing something? And the man said, I'm missing a bag of money. And my dad said, I have it. I'll bring it to you. He dropped the bag off, and the man never said thank you. Might be why New York Carpet World's out of business, right? But the fact of the matter is, how many times do we receive blessings from God? And he's expecting us. He just does. He expected those 9 lepers. He's expecting us to say, thank you. Lord, you've blessed me. And it's sometimes it's the things we see or the things that he kept us from. I was pulling out a Kroger this past week, or Bush's actually, directly onto Grand River. And I looked both ways, and it was dark already. And I started to move out, and as I got literally halfway across, I looked, and right in front of me was a truck with no lights on. And it scared the daylights out of me. I mean, I laid on my horn pretty good at that guy. But the fact of the matter is, man, I just said, Lord, thanks. How many times have I been preserved, and I didn't even realize that I was preserved? I said, Lord, you've kept me from a lot of accidents I don't even know about. C.S. Lewis said this in his book, Reflections, as the worship team comes back. Says in his Reflections on the Psalms, and he's talking about how humble people are thankful and proud people just aren't thankful. And he said, I observed that the humblest and most balanced minds thank most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praise the least. A healthy and humble man can, even if luxuriously brought up, could give thanks for every modest meal, a very modest meal. And the snob found fault with everything. Wow. Although we may not have leprosy, Brighton, we may need to be cured of the leprosy of ingratitude. This disease can only be cured in our lives by giving continuous thanks unto the Lord for what he's done. How many of you can testify the Lord's been good to you? Amen. What do we have to be thankful for? How about our families? How about running water? How about indoor toilets and plumbing? How about heating and air conditioning? How about electric lights, televisions? Microwave ovens, Ron and I got one this past week. Hospitals, medicines of all kinds, eyeglasses, closets full of clothes, canned food, fresh food, refrigerators, freezers, cars, bicycles. How about your church? How about the associate staff that we have here? They're amazing. A few hundred years ago, even the rich people, the rich people did not have what the average person in North America has today. And most of all, who could ever forget salvation? Aren't you thankful for salvation? Remember how he died for you? How could we not thank the Lord for dying for us and rising again so that we could spend eternity with him? We've got it good, amen? Probably at times too good. Certainly better than I deserve. And yet with so much to fulfill us, many people remain empty inside. Something's still missing in their lives. Just as food may taste bland at times, and you say, what's missing? I would submit to you that many times life can be flavorized by giving thanks. Ingratitude can make your life feel empty and hollow, but the fact is, it'll be tenderized, it'll be flavorized, it'll be fortified as you give thanks. In 2001, Stephen Post, a medical school professor of bioethics, created a research group, and it's entitled the Institute for Research on Unlimited Love. It was dedicated to testing and measuring the effects of love, gratitude, and other positive emotions in human life. Dr. Post's research discovered that spending 15 minutes a day focused on things you're grateful for can have the following effects on your physical health. It increases your body's natural antibodies. It expands mental capacity and reduces vulnerability to depression. It creates physiological state of resonance, improving your blood pressure and heart rate. That's gratitude for you, I would submit to you. Not only does it lift up the recipient, but it also lifts up the life who expresses it. When you say thanks to somebody, they're blessed. But do you know something? When you're saying thank you, it comes back to bless you. And that's what the word says. Those that refresh others will themselves be refreshed. It works. Can you say amen? And this is why we're told time and time again in the scriptures to give thanks. Stand with me, would you, Bright? Our Creator knows that gratitude, dropping the two letters, ungrateful and moving to grateful, it allows us to become rightly aligned with Him. Time and again, the instructions given to the early church, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. And I've preached on Colossians 3 before. But I got to tell you, I never realized that it's right there at least three times just in that little passage that we'll close with. And always be thankful. Say thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Giving, there it is a third time, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Can I challenge you this week? How many of you are ready for a challenge? You're going to get one anyway. That's an added bonus for you today. Test the results of Dr. Post's research by obeying Paul's admonition. Why don't you and I this week look to be thankful for 15 minutes a day? It might be in singing psalms and hymns, turning on a Family Life radio and singing along with it and saying, Lord, You're good. You're merciful. And Lord, I just express my gratitude because if I got what I had coming, I would die with the leprosy of sin. And so, Lord, I return to You afresh. Forgive me for my ingratitude. But, Lord, I lift up a voice of praise. You've been so good to me. I texted Pastor Brad this morning, and I said, he had a particular song, and we'll close with that song. But just for the next 5 to 7 minutes, would you just join with me in an attitude of praise and worship unto the Lord and just lift up the name of the Lord? And if you're here today watching online or in person, can I just tell you, Jesus is the answer to your life if you haven't received Him as Lord. So if you're watching online, go to brightonag.org/next right now, and we'll lead you in the path of salvation.